want to welcome you to Refreshed with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refreshed is the radio ministry of Merit Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. You can find out more about the church by visiting meritassembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at meritassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
Good day to you, Brevard County. Thank you for tuning in to 91.5 WMIE right here in Cocoa, Florida. We thank you wherever you're listening here in the Space Coast. This is Bob Arthurs. You're listening to the Refresh Radio broadcast brought to you by Merit Assembly of God. Today is the day that the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. And we are going to be meeting here in just a couple of hours, 11 o'clock in the morning, having our vintage worship service. A few weeks ago, I was so sick that I couldn't sing. And that's, well, if you'd ask my kids, they would tell you I can't sing anyway. But I have been told by other people that my kids' opinion isn't an accurate opinion. But I really don't have an internal clock when it comes to singing. I do my best job faking it. But I love to sing unto the Lord. And we were having a guest speaker that day. And when it came time for praise and worship, I was like, you know what? My voice is not going to be able to sing those songs. So I was kind of doing the old thing, moving the lips and watermelon, 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 and saying the words underneath my breath. And excuse me. So when my voice returned to strength that was sufficient to be able to sing, I was very grateful. We're going to be singing some hymns today at 11 o'clock and worshiping the Lord. So come and be a part of that. Kids ministry tonight, 6 o'clock to 7:45. The service starts at 6:30. We do have a ladies' Bible study that meets as well. So we just want you to know what is available out there. You know, it's one thing to have a resource. It's another thing to not know about that resource. And we want to make sure that you know that there are opportunities for you to feast on the Word of God besides just here on the radio. I don't generally broadcast my sermons here on the radio. Every once in a while I will do some elaboration of some of the sermons because I've got more time here on the radio than I do on Sunday morning. But what I do here on the radio is pretty much designed just for the listeners. So if you'd like to come be a part of some of our other services, we have plenty of seats available, and there are plenty of service opportunities as well if you would like to utilize your gifts for the glory of God. We are in Genesis, the 45th chapter. I think I failed to mention Creative AC Solutions. They are our sponsor of the day, 759-3284, Bill Andriak, and he does a wonderful job. He deals honestly. He's a hard worker, and he will take good care of your AC needs. He is very skilled in that area. So if you're here in the central part of the county, we encourage you to give him a call at 759-3284 and help him or allow him to keep you cool this summer. Excuse me, my my throat has something that's not wanting to talk too well out of it right now, so that'll clear up here momentarily. Yesterday we were in Genesis, the 45th chapter, and so I'm going to begin reading at verse number 3 again, and then we'll pick up a little bit later. It said, "Then Joseph said to his brothers, 'I am Joseph. Does my father still live?' But his brothers could not answer him, for they were dismayed in his presence. And Joseph said to his brothers, 'Please come near to me.' So they came near. Then he said, 'I am Joseph, your brother, whom you sold into Egypt. But now do not therefore be grieved or angry with yourselves because you sold me here, for God sent me here sent me before you to preserve life. For these 2 years, the famine has been in the land, and there are still 5 years in which there will be neither plowing nor harvesting. And God sent me before you to preserve a posterity for you in the earth and to save your lives by a great deliverance. So now it was not you who sent me here, but God, and he has made me a father to Pharaoh and lord of all his house and a ruler throughout all the land of Egypt. Hurry and go up to my father and say to him, thus says your son Joseph, God has made me lord of all Egypt. Come down to me, do not tarry. You shall dwell in the land of Goshen, and you shall be near to me, you and your children, your children's children, your flocks and your herds, and all that you have. There I will provide for you, lest you and your household and all that you have come to poverty, for there are still 5 years of famine. And behold, your eyes and the eyes of my brother Benjamin see that it is my mouth that speaks to you. So you shall tell my father of all my glory in Egypt and of all that you have seen, and you shall hurry and bring my father down here. Then he fell on his brother Benjamin's neck, and Benjamin wept on his neck. Moreover, he kissed all his brothers and wept over them, and after that his brothers talked with him. We're going to stop the reading there for right now. So yesterday we had talked about how Joseph was telling them that there were still some very difficult waters to walk through. Thank God for the difficult places that he has brought us through in the past, and those difficult places should bolster our faith that he is going to bring us through any difficulties that we might face in the future. Joseph in verse number 7 says, God sent me here, or sent me before you to preserve a posterity for you and the earth and to save your lives by a great deliverance. Not everyone is going to be called to do what Joseph did, but everyone does have a purpose that God has for them. I want to ask you, have you spent time in prayer? Have you asked God, God, what is my purpose? What is it that you would have me to do? Because God has a purpose for each and every one of them. One of my favorite people is David, because David said that his eyes would not close in death until he had fulfilled all that God had for him to do in his generation. So I want to encourage you to be a person of purpose and intention, not your purpose, not your intention, but God's purpose, and say, what is it that God has me to do? And then do that with all of your might. Say, I know that God has me here for a purpose. And I want you to know that purpose is not just for pastors. It's not just for Sunday school teachers and worship leaders. Purpose is for everyone. Everyone has a purpose. I have a friend of mine who he works on a lot of automobiles, and as a result of the skill that God has given him to work on automobiles, he has led a number of people to the Lord while working on their car. That is part of his purpose. He also has many other giftings in life, and so I just thank God for people who are living out the purpose that God has for them. I was meeting with a man a little over a week ago. He was considerably older than I am, but he was still saying, God, you know, at my age, I still don't know that I have fulfilled my purpose. And what do you have for me to do? Caleb at 85 was saying, give me this mountain. I'm just as strong and able to take this mountain as I was the day that Moses promised it to me. Give me this mountain and I will take it for the glory of the Lord. God has a purpose for you, not just when you are young, but when you are old as well. I heard it said one point in time, don't retire, just refire. Don't retire, just refire. Just put your hand to the plow in another area and allow God to lead you to accomplish great things because he has created you on purpose for his purpose. I like that. He has created you on purpose for his purpose. And Joseph said, I am not going to waste my time and my resources and my energy being bitter about the things that have taken the place in the past, because I know that God has, through all of those things, positioned me exactly where I need to be to fulfill my purpose. I've been a pastor for a long time, and there are a lot of people, and they go through their entire life questioning what it is that God has for them. Let me encourage you, find it and do it with all of your might to the glory of God. My wife and I were on a cruise earlier this year, and we were talking with some people. We had never met them until we went to dinner, and while we were at the table, they were there celebrating their anniversary. We were there celebrating our anniversary. We had both been married for decades, and this lady, you know, she one night, they're out of the five couples at our table that was just the two of us, and this lady, they moved their rearranged their seats. They came over to our side of the table so that they could sit there and talk, and said, do you think my husband and I are supposed to be married? They'd found out that that I was a pastor, and you know, my thing is, you've been married to this person for decades now, and you're still doubting of whether or not you're supposed to be together. Find out God's purpose. and let me assure you that, you know, what God has joined together, he doesn't want any person putting asunder. So I want to encourage you not to live in doubt and live with anxiety and be trapped with the bitterness of the past, but instead forget those things that are behind and press on towards those things that are before. Do it in the glory of God. Press on. Joseph said, God has sent me here to provide a great deliverance. Verse number 8. So now it was not you who sent me here, but God, and he has made me a father to Pharaoh, lord of all his house, and a ruler throughout all of the land of Egypt. And Joseph is just telling his brothers, he said, look, God's hand is bigger than your hand. You might have given me a nudge to get here, but God in his sovereign hand has brought me and directed my steps and been with me through all of the trials and all of the fires, and he has brought me to this place, and I want you to know it is a wonderful place. It is a place of influence. Believers are supposed to be people of influence, not the people being influenced by this world. We are supposed to be transformed and transforming those around us. We are not supposed to be in the business of conforming. We are supposed to be transformed into the image of Christ. And so I encourage you, let God help you to discover and fulfill the purpose that you have in your life. For our National Youth Department, their mission statement is to discover, develop, and deploy the gifts and the purpose of God in the lives of young people. I like that. Discover your purpose, develop your giftings, and deploy that gift so that you fulfill your purpose to the glory of God. At Merit Assembly of God, we are about restoring value spiritually and relationally. That's what we do. That's what we try to do. We try to help people to become the best that they can be in Christ Jesus. So let's from verse 9 through verse 13, Joseph is providing some instructions to his family, and because Pharaoh's instructions are going to trump Joseph's, I'm going to bypass over most of those instructions because they end up being a duplication. But one thing that Joseph does say is for the brothers to hurry up, return to their father, and to do not tarry. Don't wait. And so I want to ask you that as you look around at the news, the events of our day, the situations on the world stage and here in America, do you sense any sort of urgency in your spirit to be about the Master's business? I know we've already talked about procrastination, and that is not something that we need in the kingdom of God. We, you know, procrastinators of the world unite tomorrow. I told you that before. You know, that day never comes. But I want to ask the kind of the flip side of the question, and that is, do you sense an urgency to be about the Master's business? Because Jesus did. Jesus at 12 said, "Why were you looking for me? Did you not know that I would be about my Father's business?" His parents were like, why did you treat us like this? And Jesus submitted himself. He went back to his parents' house. He allowed the Holy Spirit to develop those things in him. But please understand, he knew that there was divine timing at work. He was born in the fullness of time. He gave his life upon the cross at just the right time. When he came and gave his life and the church was born, there was such an infrastructure in place that it facilitated the gospel of Jesus Christ being carried throughout the known world. It was a divinely appointed time. There are times and seasons that the Father has appointed. And so you and I, we need to recognize that this gift of time that God has created for man in this as a bubble in the scheme of eternity past to eternity future, time is there for us. We need to realize that the day is at hand, that the time is short, that there is a time that is approaching when no man can work, and we need to seize the opportunities that God has given to us. We need to recognize to not tarry, to not hesitate, and we need to hurry up and get about the business of maturing in Jesus Christ and fulfilling his purpose and reaching people with the good news of Jesus Christ. So what's holding you back? What's holding you back? I pray that it is nothing. You know, several years ago at one of our business meetings, the job losses had been announced at the Cape, and all of a sudden the Spirit of the Lord rose up inside of me and said, "This is not the time to draw back. This is the time to press forward." And so that is what we have been doing. And we see young people as a precious gift from God. You know, I'm sure that there are a lot of churches that have more young people than what we do, but we recognize the ones that God has brought to us as a gift from God, and we don't want to miss any more opportunities. I have seen far too many young people who have already wandered away from the faith. I don't want to see it again. I want to hurry up and develop a ministry for young people that will make young disciples, young followers of Jesus Christ. So I want to encourage you, don't delay and don't be lackadaisical about it, but be very expeditious and hurry. Joseph's last words in verse number 13 says, "And hurry and bring my father down here." There is an urgency. I believe that the return of Christ is very close. I need, as a result of that belief, I have an urgency to see as many people come to faith in Jesus Christ as possible. Verse number 14 and 15, it's an interesting little interlude between Joseph's instructions and Pharaoh's instructions. It said, "Then he fell on his brother Benjamin's neck and wept, and Benjamin wept on his neck. Moreover, he kissed all his brothers and wept over them. And after that, his brothers talked with him. I want to encourage you. This is a little bit different. I want to encourage you to enjoy the time and the company that you have with your family. Hug them. If they'll let you, kiss them. Laugh with them. Laugh so hard with them that till you cry. I love doing that. And enjoy. And it said that that Joseph did that not only for Benjamin, and Benjamin do that for Joseph, but Joseph went to each of his brothers, and he kissed them, and he wept over them. And it said, and after they did that, they talked. A person at our general council, we had a conference back in August, and the 2 days of the conference was, before the council, was called an influence conference. And a person got up there and he said, you know, when Joseph's brothers were brought into his house in chapter 43, in the particular version that he was using, it said they ate and they drank freely with him. And there was a time of fellowship. There was a time of eating and just enjoying them. And it says and then he said, and then in chapter 45, when there is a complete and total reconciliation, that they talked freely with him. Now, my version doesn't say that they did. My one version says they were merry with him, and the other, this one here, it says, and after he kissed them and wept over them, that his brothers talked with him. There was a time where they were just able to communicate. A few weeks ago, we had a guest speaker with us. We had a leadership seminar on Saturday. And during that seminar, he asked us to partner up with somebody. And for the next 6 minutes, we were going to have this one little exercise. And that is, for the first 3 minutes, one person was going to talk and there was no subject matter. We could talk about anything that we wanted. And I'll tell you, I'm here on the radio, and it's amazing to me how fast 27 minutes go. But whenever I'm on here, I have a purpose. I have a topic that I am discussing that day. And so the person I was communicating with, they said, Pastor, you go first. And so I was talking, and it seemed like 3 minutes went on forever. And, you know, but I made do. And just in case you thought that preachers would run out of things to say, I eventually filled the 3 minutes of times. And then they said, now I want you to switch roles. And during this 3 minutes, the person who was talking does all of the listening. And the only rule was that when the person was talking and when the person was listening, there was no interrupting. There was no interrupting. And so they had the platform, and the second person was not limited to talking about what the first person talked about, but they could talk about anything. And so I want to talk to those who are maybe married who are listening to this broadcast, and I want to ask you a very simple question. How long has it been since you just sat down and talked with the one that you love? You see, there's always going to be housework. There's always going to be lawn work. There's always going to be bills to be paid. There's always going to be dishes that need to be done. There's always going to be something that requires your attention. I want to ask you, how long has it been since you just sat down and say, honey, I love you, and I would just like to hear whatever is on your heart? And it doesn't have to be restricted to 3 minutes. You know, if They want to talk for a shorter period of time. And I'm not talking about arguing. Please understand. I'm just asking, when was the last time that you just enjoyed talking with the person that you were journeying through life together with? Now, Joseph and the brothers, they had decades to catch up on. Decades. So there was a lot of talking that needed to be done. Now, my mother and they listen to this program through the computer, through the internet, and on occasion, and I'm not sure how frequently they do, so I'm not going to say anything that would embarrass them. But my mother loves to hear from me. She loves for me to call her, or for her to call me, and she knows that that I'm busy. She knows the schedule, and so a lot of the conversations I talk to my mother generally on Monday, on Tuesday, on Thursday, on Friday, and Saturday. We have conflicting schedules on Sunday and Wednesday. Because we're in different time zones, and so there's not a lot of dialogue. Now, sometimes our conversations are, hey, how's it going? You know, it's going well, but I'm really busy right now, and that's them saying that. They're retired and still very busy. And so I say, okay, well, I'll talk to you tomorrow, and if I happen to get tied up and not be able to talk to them a day, I call back and I make it up with them. But my mother just likes to hear my voice because she loves me and she doesn't get to see me as much, although she can FaceTime me now, which is not good when I'm sick, by the way. I'll just tell you that was the last FaceTime call I got. But my wife, when she talks with her mother, it may be quite some time in between conversations, but whenever they make a connection, whenever they talk, you know, I just say, you know what, I'm going to step out of the way and I'm going to let these people have some fellowship, because they will talk until the phone battery goes dead. They will talk until one of them falls asleep on the phone. There is just so much, you know, where my conversations may be very short, but pretty frequent. There are others who their conversations are not very frequent, but they're very substantive and they go on for a long time. I just want to challenge you here on this Wednesday to make sure that you keep the communication lines open in your relationship, because a breakdown of communication is one of the leading indicators that a relationship is in trouble. Don't cut off the lines of communication that you have with God. Don't cut off the lines of communication you have with your pastor. And for heaven's sake, do not cut off the lines of communication with your family. Love them. Enjoy the fellowship with them. God bless you. We'll see you tomorrow right here on Refresh.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merit Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, merittassembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to MerittAssembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 10:30 a.m. Remember Proverbs 11:25: He who refreshes others will himself be refreshed.